it's great to have everybody here. We got 89 guys accounted for. Most of those guys ran today. Some of them didn't, but that's for reasons that, you know, they're working through stuff. And then it was good to get the young guys in here with the quarterbacks and a few of the players that didn't finish the offseason program. So, you know, we got 89 guys that are accounted for, and Taylor's one of them.
Anticipated good health beyond Conklin. What are you looking like for practice tomorrow?
Yeah, I think with you know, we'll see here with Todd how things played out with the run test. But, you know, happy to report that everybody passed. Everybody completed the required running that we'd asked them to do. So it looked pretty good. That's just the first step of, you know, of our journey. We got to be able to come together as a team and start practicing. And, you know, that's going to start on Thursday.
I think Rashad's good to go.
Still waiting to see. You know, we'll evaluate him. He's in a process of continually being evaluated, and when Rashard's ready, I know he's frustrated, and I think that anytime you're dealing with certain things with your body, I think that players become frustrated, and that's my job to try to make sure that they stay the course and they do the rehab and they do what Todd's asking them to do and our strength staff. Because you can get frustrated. I don't want anybody here to get frustrated if you know, the injury rate in our game is 100%. Everybody's going to get hurt. You know, we're going to have to deal with the injuries, and we're going to have to get the next guy ready to go. So, you know, Rashard's, you know, when he's ready, he'll be out there.
What's the hope at this point for Conklin in
terms of? You know, I think just to continue his rehab, I think it's really good, you know, seeing him in here. It's allowed him to focus on really his body, his training, his lifting. And not have to worry about really doing anything with his legs or running. So he looks really good. He looks like he's in shape. Now we're going to start the movement stuff and the running and getting him on the field as we work our way through camp. But, you know, right now he's on PUP, and so he won't be able to do anything as it relates to practice or walkthrough. But, you know, he'll work conditioning and meetings and lifting and be with the team.
With Taylor here.
Philip Super not dealing with landing him on PUP.
Well, I think the one thing that Phillip's done is he's played really hard throughout his career. And when you play special teams and that blocking tight end role, you know, there's things that add up. And so, you know, when he is able to get back out there, injuries specifically, I think that there's just some bumps and bruises that he's working through before we want to bring him out there and have him practice.
How important to be distraction-free, kind of, as camp rolls on with a couple of things that have happened?
We're going to have to deal with all types of distractions. I think that whether they're player-related, family-related, whatever it may be, there's always going to be something, you know. So I don't want to, like, lose sight of the fact, because we're always going to have to deal with some sort of distractions. Our players, our coaches, everybody in this building is going to have to deal with something. And if we have to understand that we're professional enough to do our job, that when we come in here, hopefully we've been able to, as an organization, to make everything outside of this building as easy as possible for our players, whether that be financial education, family, you know, working with our, you know, our therapist, working with Dr. Sheila. So we're trying to provide all those things that when they come into our building, they can concentrate on football. We know that there's going to be distractions along the way.
I know you're still waiting on Rashard, but how you kind of rate your receiving core heading into training camp? How do you like the group as a whole?
Well, I'd say the first 2 days of the guys that were here, that would be the four rookies and Corey. I'd say there was a lot of improvement over the 5 weeks that since we last saw them. It was good to see these guys work a lot of drills with Rob, one-on-one drills, individual drills. Catch the ball from Marcus and Blaine and Luke. And so I think that those guys really took a big step over the course of 5 weeks, and hopefully we can get it to continue. But that's really all I have to go on and evaluate is those five players over the course of 2 days.
You've got the reminders out there of the things you've been talking about since the day you got here. How do you weigh guys knowing what to do against their ability to play fast, and what's the time?
I don't know if that? I think that I have to evaluate if the players know the specific call. They know the situation. You know, there's certain ways that you can kind of see that. And that's my job as a head coach to make sure, hey, Dean, like, they don't really have it. Like, we can't move on until they have it. And let's not just check the box and say we installed it. But that could go for Marcus in a play. Like, we may have to show him, you know, one play against, you know, seven or eight coverages until he feels really comfortable about running it. And then I think the players need to be honest with me and with the coaches and say, you know what, I really don't have it. It's okay to say, hey, I don't have this. We got to slow down. We got to come back. And then ultimately, you know, playing fast and aggressive is really the only way you can win in this league. It's you can't play tentative. You know, the players are too good. And so hopefully we can combine those two things and continue to do that through training camp.
Specifically with Marcus,
how was Marcus's recall and his progression from the off time that you got?
Good. I think that all those guys, like I said, all those guys that came in here early look like they took a step. And we'll find out what the next 60 guys that ran today, what they look like tomorrow. But I think it was beneficial for those young offensive linemen, the defensive linemen that we had here, you know, the young running backs to be able to come back in here. It looked like, you know, they were able to handle the first two installs that Matt and Dean covered. And I think probably the most pleased that I was with just with the special teams. I think that, you know, we focused a lot on the punt first couple days. And those young players that come from college that maybe weren't on the punt team or didn't know anything about the punt team looked like they were able to handle what Craig and his guys were trying to get coached the first 2 days.
Specifically, Mike, with
LaJuan. I think trying to do all the things that we talked about, I think the first thing that you should probably try to be is competitive. I think that you have to work every day to compete, no matter where you are, take advantage of your opportunities, finish, try to do things that separate yourself, that distance yourself from another player to try to stand out. I think versatility is a big factor. You know, and then ultimately, are you able to take the meeting to the practice field? Are you able to take the individual drill to a one-on-one rep? And then are you able to take the one-on-one rep to the team? I think that you see a lot of times guys, they do really well in one-on-one drills, and they may not go that same pace or have that same success when it's 11-on-11 and the pictures change and there's a bunch of other bodies. So, you know, that's the progression that we teach, and that's the progression that we practice. And so it's important to take that next step from the individual to the one-on-ones, and then if you have success in one-on-ones, can you go out and have success in team rushing the passer with five offensive linemen and a play going on as opposed to just down there in a one-on-one drill?
On LaJuan, Mike, specifically his voice, his talent, how important is it to have that here from the start?
Well, again, it's always important to have every single guy that's under contract here. And in Taylor's case, he's under contract, so he's here. He's working, he's in great shape, and so that's why we're excited. Ben Jones looks great. Q Spain's in shape, ran the test. I mean, those guys, that whole group, really did a great job of developing in the offseason with Keith, with Sully, and then staying in shape. You worry when they leave here for 5 weeks, what's the team going to look like when they come back here? What kind of shape are they going to be in? You kind of hold your breath because you're banking on your education of them being a professional football player holding up for 5 weeks when they could go to vacation and they could go to LA, they could go to Miami, they could go to Vegas, they could go to a lot of different places. But we came back in shape, and so, you know, Taylor certainly was at the forefront of that. He looked good.
How much did Dodd figure into your plans, and subsequently how big an opportunity is there for somebody then with his departure?
Well, there's always opportunity. You know, whether players are here or not here, I think the only guys that have the opportunity are the ones that are here. I'm sure John touched on the situation with Dodd and why we moved on, but, you know, I'm happy to talk about the players that are on our roster. Yeah, and I would say to answer the question first that I have conversations with Jarrell about a lot of different topics all the time. I really enjoy our conversations. That's the one thing I enjoy about being a head coach is getting to know about guys' family, getting to know about the things that they are passionate about, trying to help them be a better football player, try to be a better husband. And so that was one of the things that when he came back and he walked in and we talked about, but that was one of them. And, you know, how we, you know, are able to get our point across through the media, using it in a positive way to spread our message of our organization, our football team, and whatever endeavors that we want to take outside of football.
You even know the anthem policy now with it being frozen.
Well, I did know it, and then they changed it on it. So I always try to teach the players. I try to learn it, and just like the rules, we're not going to complain about the rules. We're going to try to follow them, and we're going to try to understand them and use them to our advantage. And until they tell us what that may or may not be, then I really can't do anything to help our players because I'm not really sure what it is.
Good, though, that the league and the PA are working together to formulate something, bringing both sides of this together?
Having been really now on both sides, obviously being on the executive committee is the Players Association. I played for 14 years. So, and now being on this side, anytime that the Players Association and the league can communicate, can work together to make things better for our league, our game, our players, and our fans, I think that that's a positive thing.
I feel like a lot of people misunderstood what Jarrell was saying in those comments last
night. Well, I think anytime that something comes across that may not be how the person intended it to be, there's certainly some things that get lost in, not translation, but I have an idea of what I want to say. And then when I start talking, it may not come out that way. And so, I think that you always have to just, whether that be on Twitter or that be on media, print media, an interview, just be able to make sure that what you're saying is exactly the message that you want to send.
How do you layer in the unscripted stuff? Is there just a block in a practice where nobody knows what it's going to be until you say, but they know it's something's coming?
I think that we have to try to get all the stuff in, all the situations, all the first down, the second down, the third down, the backed up, the short yardage, the goal line, whatever, the red zone, whatever that may be. I think we have to make sure that we get it all in and that it's scripted. Okay, this is what it is. This is the installation so that the players know. And then once that's in, hopefully the fourth or fifth day, then we can start to at times put the ball down, call it, mix in the offensive situation, mix in the defensive situation, and it really the special team situation, because all those things tie in to each other. If there's a backed up punt, there's going to be another situation with what the offense may have, and depending on how much time's in the game. So we have to get them all in and make sure that, we're hitting each of those individual things as it's scripted in practice. And then once we feel good about, what it's looked like when it's scripted, I think then you can take the next step to kind of unscripting it and kind of putting it on them during the course of practice.
Once you go to that, is it a complete surprise to Matt Dean and the players, or do they have a feeling something's coming, they just don't know what the situation
is? No, I think
is?
when we say call it, they think they probably have an idea that what's going to happen. But, I think the down and distances may change based on how I feel we need. If we need more third down, I'll make them shorter the first down and make it third down. Or if I'm like, okay, we need to keep the drive going, I'll just make it a first down. And, somebody ends up complaining but at the end of the day, we're trying to get something accomplished and, try to put a lot of thought into how we script the practices.
As far as padded practices over the first week of camp?
We'll go first 2 days, obviously, is the acclimatization period, and then we'll put pads on. But, doing a lot of thinking about the research that we get from the league and the majority of the injuries that occur in the first 22 days of training camp. And so being conscious of that, and we'll weigh things accordingly, and we'll kind of work through how we put pads on and if we can practice without pads and if we're able to get things accomplished. But, right now we're going to try to understand where those injuries are occurring and do our best to practice fast and, eliminate a lot of collisions and by practicing smart.
How much more do you find out about your team, though, right off the bat with pads?
Well, I think you learn, what their focus and what their conditioning level is like, what their competitiveness is like. You learn a lot of things. You learn a lot of things that guys will show up that maybe didn't quite stand out in the spring. And then when you put pads on and things begin to get a little tougher, a little bit more physical, a little hotter. Those guys that kind of have the ability to make it, they kind of stand out a little bit, and you start to separate some other guys from the pack.
How's your take a couple more going into your first training
camp? Good. I mean, it's exciting. I meant start looking at situations, and you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about, should I call a timeout in this situation? And I'm like, now I'm really losing my mind. So. It's just good to have the players back. It's very difficult for a wife and a teenage son to have a dad home that's used to coaching football. That's not easy. It's great to have these guys back. I feel like this is what it's supposed to be. The only reason you coach is to be around players and try to help them and make them better and bring a team together and start to build something.
Mike, you've won three Super Bowls. Is this football team you're about to take on coming from a Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, man, I think, honestly, I think every team in this league can win a Super Bowl. And I know that people will scoff at that, but this season is really, this NFL season, how they make it, it's like a horse race. And I'm going to try to explain this the best way that I can, but at the beginning of a 20-horse race, or in this case, a 32-horse race, they open the gates in early September after Labor Day, and really what the horses do is they don't look to their right or their left. They look straight ahead. And there's a jockey that tries to guide them through this race, and that would be the coaching staff. And really, the horses, they don't care who's next to them. They don't care who's on the right or who to the left and what that horse is doing. They just put their head, they look straight ahead, and they run as hard and as fast as they can. And at the end, you know, somebody ends up getting the right break or doing the right thing late in a race or coming from back in a pack. And so really whoever's leading at the quarter pole usually doesn't end up winning. So there's a lot of jockeying that goes on. It's a long season, and we're just going to do our best to put ourselves in position starting tomorrow, building to ultimately that. We don't want to worry about what everybody else is doing and, hey, these guys signed these guys in the off season, or this is what they're running. And we've got to concentrate on what the Titans are doing and not so much what everybody else is doing.
That analogy, are you the jockey?
They would fall down if I had to get on anybody's back. I mean, yeah, it'd have to be massive. But I just really can appreciate that and not worrying about what everybody else is doing, because I think that, you know, you get caught up in what, hey, what are these guys doing? They had success. Like, yeah, you want to take a look at it, but you don't want to just do things just for the sake that everybody else did them. So believe in what you're doing and make sure that, you know, we run our race and maybe not what everybody else is doing.
How would you describe the company?
Thanks.